You're listening to the It's Her Time podcast with Cody and Jess. Hi, welcome back to the It's Her Time podcast. My name is Cody Sanders, and I'm a holistic health practitioner and functional nutritionist and the host of this show. And I love bringing in amazing guests that are experts in their field, especially when it comes to helping women feel their best with their hormonal health and so on. So I have a special guest today. Her name is Bria Gadd. She's also a functional nutritionist. She's also a personal trainer, and she is also known as the Period Whisperer. And today we are going to talk about what not to drink when you are on your period. But before we get into the episode, let's join Jess for a Mixers Girl. Say, okay, so I actually have Riley here with us. Now, if you don't know Riley yet, Riley is who helps to do all of our social media. So anything that is on Instagram, on TikTok, all of that, Riley is the person that's controlling that. So a lot of you that actually are communicating with us and sending us DMs, it's Riley who's seeing those first. So say hi to everybody. Riley, tell us a little bit about
you. Hey guys. Yeah, my name is Riley. My last name's also Riley. So that's my favorite fun fact.
I'm Riley Riley. Ever. Riley Riley.
Yep. I've always been called Ry as my nickname. So I guess it just came to fruition, which is perfect.
That's so good.
But yeah, I've worked at Mixers for about, 7-8 months, and I absolutely love it.
She's so fun and funny, and I hope you guys get to like just enjoy her fun personality and her sense of humor. She just has us cracking up all the time. She's so beautiful, but she is hilarious. So,
oh, Cody's the best.
Well, hey.
We have a good time.
Hey, we do have a good time. That's for sure. So I invited her to come and do some of our Mixers Girl Say. Every week on Tuesdays on our social media, we have a little segment that's called Tell Us Tuesdays. And this is an opportunity where we ask fun questions, funny questions, heartwarming questions, whatever. We just want to get to know you and what you girls are all thinking. And so it's awesome. The responses that you guys give us are so good and so funny sometimes. And sometimes we're like, what? And so we're going to talk about one of our Tell Us Tuesdays that we had just a little bit ago.
Yeah. So we did a Tell Us Tuesday where we were asking what you all thought would be our new exciting announcement, which was our rebrand, if you haven't heard. But we ended up also posting about it, and we had you guys guessing in the comments. And some of the guesses were hilarious. We were like, okay, what do you guys think is our big announcement? And people were guessing vitamins and supplements over and over again, which, yeah. Cody, do you want to explain why that's so hilarious?
Why are we just cracking up? Because Mixers is a supplement company. That is exactly what we are providing. Now, it's just funny to us because we are like, we talk about this on every post. We feel like we're talking about it in our podcast and everywhere there's anything that where we're talking about what Mixers does. But it's so funny because I actually think that some people don't see us as a supplement company, which is why actually we were motivated to do the rebrand because we wanted to make that crystal clear. But I think sometimes they think of us as maybe a drink company, right? Because we have a unique way of delivering all of the vitamins and minerals and the herbs and all the things that help to provide nutrition for you. We do it in a drink form.
Yes. Yeah. We were just cracking up as these responses were coming in. Yeah. We're like, oh, vitamins, that's smart.
Genius.
Supplements.
We should think about that.
We should become a supplement company. Oh, wait, that's what we've done all along. And then we also had menopause, period, like that was over and over again. Like, you guys should come out with a period, like something for hormones. We're like, oh, that's a good idea. We should do that.
We should do that. I mean, it's so funny. Part of me was like laughing and kind of in shock and a little bit like, not to be rude, but I was like rolling my eyes because I was like, what? Like, how do you not know that this is what we do?
Yes.
We literally were the first to market with any type of supplement that helps to support women's hormonal health during all phases of life. So we have Her Time, which you girls know and love, that helps us during our fertile years. And then we have Mixers Menopause, which is going to help support us as we're transitioning into menopause and beyond. And so it just was funny. I mean, it was a great idea.
Yeah.
They were having great ideas,
right,
too.
They were right on the money,
but they're just a little bit maybe behind where we are. So
yeah, but we loved it. It was awesome. We need to start being a little bit more clear on social media. It's a good little wake-up call for me, but we loved it. So it was also fun to see everyone's comments about rebrand because there were a lot of you who had guessed what we were doing. We were changing our packaging. And that's so exciting to see like how people have been perceiving that on social media from my perception, because we're all stoked about it over here at Mixers. And so it's so fun to see that you guys are stoked as well.
Yeah. It's so exciting. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot that's been rolling out. We've been trying to do it in a way that brings you all along with us. And there's a lot of reasons behind why we've done the rebrand. And I've talked about it, and Jess and I have talked about it a little bit here, and we'll continue to talk about it. But what we are cracking up and what we have learned, and we appreciate because we are always learning from each of you, is how do we give the messages clearer? Yeah. How do we make it more clear about what it is that we do and what do we offer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the best. It's so fun to see you guys and everything that you're like engaged with us on Instagram and TikTok. So thank you and keep doing it.
We have the best audience and community ever. So thank you so much. All right, let's get into the episode.
Mixers is a company made for women by women. Each of our products have been carefully and lovingly crafted to support you in all stages of your life, providing you with the optimal health you deserve. Each ingredient we handpick is 100% all natural, backed by science, and chosen specifically to better your life physically, mentally, and hormonally. Each product empowers your body to take charge of its monthly hormonal shift and flows, empowering you to live life to the fullest. Let Mixers take care of your needs from sunup to sundown, and you take care of the rest. Check us out at mixers.com. M-I-X-H-E-R-S.
Bria, I cannot wait for us to get into this conversation because I feel like these are some things that we don't always think about when we're suffering with some of the symptoms that come along with having a period. And these are just some little tweaks that people could make in their lifestyle and in their diet that can really add up and make a huge difference and help us to feel our best. But before we get into all of that, let's let everybody just kind of hear from you. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, what your background is, and why you are known as the Period Whisperer.
Yeah, thank you, Cody. I'm super excited to be here. I absolutely love your podcast. So I'm really fangirling a bit being here myself. Oh. So thank you for having me, first of all.
Right back at you. Girls, she's got an incredible podcast too. Definitely want to tune in.
Thank you. So yeah, my name's Bria. I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, a holistic health coach, and a personal trainer. And a mom of two. I guess that's always got to put that one in there. It's a big hat, isn't it? I'm originally Canadian. I live in Arizona right now. And I got into hormones and women's health specifically, I'd say, because I think when my babies were little, they're 12 and 15 now, but I started and built a business, you know, as a trainer and nutrition coach. And I always predominantly worked with women, and it was really, you know, I think I started at 28, I'm 42 now. So it was like a good chunk of time that I was, you know, in that land, and I loved it. Like it was really my way of finding time for me. It kind of became a part of my identity. I still love fitness and everything to this day. But around the age of 35, you kind of go through life and you're like, oh, at least I have this figured out. I mean, everything else is a bit challenging, but this piece is figured out. But I started to notice a shift in my clients, right? I'm sure it's similar for you, where you end up attracting a lot of the people who are like, you know, around my age and in my age box. And it was all the things that we had used to be doing, like they just weren't feeling as well. And it really kind of took the wind out of my sails for sure. But I think it was around 37 when all of a sudden I started not feeling very ideal in my own health. And when this is a part of your livelihood, but also like your passion and what you identify as like, okay, this piece is taken care of, it really kind of throws you, doesn't it?
Totally.
So it kind of started where I wasn't really getting results from my fitness anymore. You know, I like gained some, what I think undeserved weight, I like to call it, like when you're doing the things and the things aren't working. And, you know, I was having like brain fog issues, energy issues, like just a lot of cravings. My period became irregular for the first time in my life. And then the real kicker for me is I stopped sleeping well. I was waking up in night sweats, and like I was having anxiety, which I'd never, ever really dealt with. And that was what kind of drove me to my healthcare practitioner to be like, okay, something is seriously wrong. Because any woman who knows, like who's up in the night and can't sleep, like we're Googling things in the night, right? And we should not do that, because the things that come up are not for us to be looking at in the middle of the night, I think. And they don't help the anxiety and the not sleeping. So, you know, I had a great appointment with my healthcare practitioner. She did all the things, did the blood work, asked all the questions, and kind of looked at me and was like, you know, Bria, you're the picture of health. And Cody, like, I was super grateful that I didn't have any of those things I was Googling that came up, right? When you like go plug in night sweats and you don't like to see what comes up out of there. But I was 37 and I was like, I thought I had this piece figured out. And I was like, if this is the best I'm going to feel, like, I don't know, like, what are the next 37 years are going to be like? And it was a real dark moment for me, as, you know, someone in the wellness industry, as a woman, to be like, what is, I do not feel well. And I'm told I'm being feeling well. And that was really what kind of pivoted my career to really start to understand like female physiology, more specifically, like what's going on with our hormones, you know, specifically what the heck is perimenopause, which no one was really talking about. We know what menopause is. I don't know what perimenopause is. And that was the real part where I kind of shifted and did a lot of education and started to better understand female hormones, how things change, and really ultimately the whispers of your body to start to learn to listen to what they are and not just what everyone outside of you tells you to do. And that was really my journey to coming back to health. And I mean, and to be able to stand here in my 40s and be like, I feel better now than in my 20s. So that's really my journey.
I love your story. And I just feel like Bria, sister, like we have the same experience and I'm maybe like a decade ahead of you, but it's like, absolutely. This is exactly the things that I was experiencing and I was seeing with my own clientele. And it's exactly like what drove me to start diving into all of this and to understand our bodies better. And so I love that these conversations are happening. And I love it when we have women on here that share from their own personal experience, because I feel like so many of us relate to everything that you just shared about, and it can feel extremely frustrating. But I say this a lot, but I'm like, you know, let's just have hope and let's see that there is light at the end of this tunnel and that it actually can get better. It's like you were healthy, but now you've just learned to take it to the whole next level, right? And so it's empowering. It's amazing. So yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be such a fun episode. And I can tell already that we're going to relate on a lot of thoughts, I'm sure. So, but this episode specifically, I don't know about you, Bria, but I get a lot of questions, which I love. I love getting questions from our audience here from the It's Her Time podcast, or whether they follow me on social media or whatnot. I get a lot of questions that are sent to me, and there's little things that people are just not putting two and two together on that. I'm like, I just want to help. You know, I want to shout this from the rooftop that there are some really simple little tweaks that we can do to our diet or to our lifestyle that can make a big impact on our lives and how we feel. And especially as we start going through different phases of our life and transitioning into perimenopause and then menopause and beyond. So like one of the biggest things for me when I was working with my clients and a big driver of why we actually created Mixers is that so many of the women that I was working with, I was designing these exercise programs for them that were, you know, specifically tailored to a woman's needs. And then I was also like giving them these really well thought out. I mean, it took so much time. Back then there weren't the programs that there are now for like nutrition programs and, you know, things like that. And the grocery lists and the, you know, all of the recipes so they look pretty and everything and easy to use. I've spent all of this time and then it would work, but then people couldn't stick with it. It was just hard. You know, it was just took a lot of work. And then it was also that the fact that they all had this little comfort vice, I will call that. It was like, and it usually had something to do with what they liked to drink. So whether it was the coffee in the morning, it was a soda run during the day to give them a little energy boost during that late afternoon, you know, slump, or it's like wine at night or whatever. And it was like that little thing that was kind of tipping the scale on the side that they didn't want to be. And it was causing a lot of the symptoms that they were coming to me about. And it was just like that one little tweak that I was like, if you could just cut some of this out, it would make a big difference for you. And I don't think people like hearing that because there's a lot of emotional attachment, right, to these drinks. But that's what we're going to talk about, girls, today, is because I want you to understand the impact that some of the things that we're drinking at daily or even on our period are actually could be a big culprit for why you're not feeling well. So let's get into it. Whether you want to hear this or not, I think it's good for us to know.
Yes, definitely. I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. So yeah, first of all, let's just get into like let's just establish. I know that we have an audience that tunes in regularly. Thank you for that, everybody. But you know that like what we're doing today is actually going to show up next month when it comes to our period. And so it matters. It matters what we're doing now. It's not just when we're on our period that we're going to like be able to fix. So it's like what we did last month, if your period, we'll say this, if your period shows up this month and it is not fun and it's you're hating life, then you need to think back like what's been going on over the past like 4 weeks or even maybe longer than that, what's been happening, you know, consistently and try to see where we can find some little, you know, improvements that can be made.
Yes. I love that. And there was even some research around the fact that the egg that is chosen for ovulation this month was chosen like 4 to 6 months ago. So even what was happening, you know, 4 to 6 months ago can be impacting us right now. So I love that you say that, like what you're doing before is going to be impacting the future. And that goes for all parts of us, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And for good or for bad, right? And so the more good, I mean, obviously we don't have to be perfect, but if we can be, you know, more of the good choices, they're going to pay off in the long run. And if we can do less of the bad choices or whatever, if we want to call them good or bad. But specifically, I think that let's talk about some of the impact that maybe like sugary drinks, especially, I feel like any form of sugar, but it feels like that sugar drink just goes straight into the bloodstream and it causes all kinds of issues. Let's talk about that and kind of get your take on what you talk to your clients about when it comes to whether or not, you know, sugary drinks has any impact on your period or your just overall hormonal health.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, and I think you can call sugary drinks and alcohol can lump right in there,
that's
right?
True.
Alcohol is a pretty sugary drink most of the time, but you know, even without the alcohol. And so if we're talking sugary drinks, I think there's the science, right, behind a lot of these things where, you know, we know that when we have, like when sugar specifically comes into the body, you know, it creates an inflammatory response. So then automatically more cortisol is released into the system to deal with that thing. So we've got a couple of issues with that happening when it comes to our hormones. One, the liver's job, part of the liver's job is to deal with metabolizing our hormones, also deal with metabolizing like toxic substances like sugar. And it gets a little congested. And depending on the time of the month that you're in, your liver could be busier during that time, like working harder to handle these things. So when it's busy taking, you know, metabolizing some of these toxic substances, then it's not able to metabolize our hormones the way they're supposed to, which can be really quickly, you know, roll into a bit of a hormone imbalance, which of course, hormone imbalance is where we're going to start to see a lot of these uncomfortable period PMS symptoms and certainly symptoms in perimenopause and menopause. So I think that's like one of the biggest pieces of the science side of it is really, hey, you know, now the liver is full. Also, when we spike more cortisol into the system, as I'm sure you already talk about, like our estrogen and progesterone balance is symbiotic. So when there's not enough of one, there's too much of the other. And sugar, alcohol, caffeine, all of these things, they spike our cortisol, which actually fights with progesterone for the same receptors. So then we end up with a natural estrogen progesterone imbalance because there's not enough progesterone. There's too much estrogen. So we already have an imbalance and then the liver is overworked. So it kind of hits us in that 1-2 punch and makes those symptoms even worse, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50 or 60.
It's so true. And you know, it doesn't, what you're doing even in your teenagers is going to affect you in your 20s, 30s, you know, and so on. I mean, obviously we can improve, but yeah. I love that. I love that you brought up the liver. Loving up on our liver is so important and it has such a key part in playing whether we have that hormone balance or not. And most of the symptoms that I feel like women who are experiencing PMS or are dealing with extreme perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms, they usually are experiencing the hormone imbalance of estrogen dominance. And so this is a key player. So I'm so glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, it's a big one. So that's kind of like the science behind it. And then I always think any one of these drinks, you know, we also have like just the added workload to the body overall, like I was talking about. So now if you're in your 20s and early 30s and you're menstruating, like the body's a bit busier, of course, during our like premenstrual and menstrual phases. If you're in perimenopause, which is like 35 and beyond, I mean, the body's trying to make a big transition. So we already have a lot going on. And it's kind of think about it, Cody, like when you're trying to pull all the laundry out of the dryer at once and like walk up the stairs, like socks drop, things can start to slip through the cracks a little, or you're trying to take all the groceries in at once, you know, and then like one bag breaks. like it's just a little too much for the body. So I'd like to think of that as well as a really important piece. And maybe even the last one that I think is so critical when it comes to these things is, you know, when we often choose these things, and you talked about that in the beginning, like to, you know, as our thing, ultimately these things kind of are there and we choose them to kind of numb the rough edges of our life. Mm-hmm. But I like to think of like your luteal phase and certainly perimenopause, these transitional phases in our cycles are really there to make us edgy enough to recognize what's really bothering us and change. And if we're constantly numbing that, then we can't get edgy enough to actually change. And I think that's like the philosophical side of it for me anyway.
I love it. I love both of those examples. The laundry is so visual and it's so true. How many of us, you know, those funny little like posts that I've been seeing on Instagram and stuff about like women holding things. It's so funny. Like we do, we try to bring in all the groceries all at once and we try to get all of the laundry all in one load, but we can totally look at our bodies. They're trying to do the same thing when we're just overloading it. Right. And so it makes a huge difference. And I love that. We need to be edgy enough to be able to understand what's actually going on with our bodies and learn. Like this is our maturation phases of life, right? I think monthly and you know, the luteal phase, and then as we start going into perimenopause and then menopause and beyond. So yeah. So then I, you know, when I recommend this to women to start cutting down, you know, some of their sugar intake, and especially it's an easy way to do that is through cutting out the sugary drinks, you know, that we can tend to consume and don't think much of because we're not chewing it, right? And so I think sometimes we forget that these are actually like, they are putting a big load on our body and especially our liver. And so they're like, well, no, I don't drink that. I do a diet, you know, this or that. I try to do, you know, and I want women to understand too, that even though there might not be actual sugar in a drink, we also need to be aware and cautious of the impact that artificial sweeteners can have on our hormone health.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's still not a real substance. And I always think of it, it's like, if it's man-made, if it's a chemical in any form, the body's got to deal with it. I mean, anytime you put anything in your body, good, bad, or ugly, the body's got to stop what it's doing, which might be trying to like ovulate or prepare for menstruation. It might be trying to, you know, transition in perimenopause. It might be trying to heal something in there and deal with what we've put in. Mm-hmm. And so the quality of what you put in is going to make it easier or harder. I kind of look at it like, sorry, I'm all full of metaphors today.
I love the metaphors. Yes.
Thank you. Like the difference between buying leggings from Walmart or Lululemon, like the tools you choose do make, they're both leggings, but like they make a huge difference on how it looks on your body. So like the tool you choose to put in, you know, chemical or natural. And so in this case, like artificial sweeteners, the body, you know, you're just not going to get the same tools to pick up to function the way we want our body to function.
Yeah. I mean, at least our bodies understand what sugar is. It knows what to do with sugar, but you're right. Anything that's this artificial substance, our body's like, what is this? And it reprioritizes the body's priorities, you know, like what it needs to take care of first. And so yes, absolutely. When we're putting that into our body, it's not like it's just going unnoticed. It's making the liver and everything else just have to like take care of that, get rid of that. You know, that's the first priority now where it shouldn't be a priority at all. And then other things get kind of left behind. And so that's when we start seeing some of the symptoms start, you know, because our body's trying to speak to us. Our body's trying to communicate with us like, okay, we're feeling really overworked right now. So I'm going to give you some acne on your face, or I'm going to give you really heavy, you know, period this month or whatever. Cause it's trying to tell us like, okay, there's an issue here.
I love that you say that. And I think ultimately that's, you know, where I think we get a bit confused is that, you know, there's whispers from our body of like what it needs. You know, typically if we're reaching for something to numb a rough edge, like there's something there that really we want our body, you know, maybe it's like, I'm a little tired today. And really, instead of reaching for sugar and caffeine, we really should be like, okay, how can I get a bit more sleep in, or how can I get some fresh air in? So there's those whispers. And then of course, there's the actual messages that I think are like more like screams from your body. Like, fine, if you're not listening, I'm going to throw this on your face.
Yes.
And you're just going to have to listen now.
Unfortunately, that's like how I feel like I had to be taught so many times in my life. Like, I feel like I will admit, women, that I am sometimes the worst. I've learned, I've become a little more wise and quicker to listen. And I'm understanding the language of my body now. And so luckily I'm not letting it get to the point where it literally, like, I mean, my body and went into like chronic fatigue. You know, it was like I couldn't get out of bed because I didn't listen to what my body was trying to tell me for so long, for like more than a decade. So crazy. Yeah. So you brought up caffeine. Let's get into caffeine. I mean, this is something that I feel like women are, they don't understand it very well either, but when they start learning about this, they're fascinated by it because I think that caffeine is something that can have a negative impact on both men and women. But what women don't understand is it is really impactful for our health. And we are even more sensitive to the effects that caffeine can have on us, you know, on our delicate hormone system here. And so let's talk about it. So we know that it can affect our cycle. I have a lot of women that, you know, that drink a lot of caffeine and it can affect our cycle in many ways, whether it is making your cycles longer, making your cycles a little, you know, more painful. That is a big one that's super common. But I want to get into why. Like, why does that happen?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, you know, I think we often think of caffeine as like this magical juice that perks us up, right? That's really why, you know, I think why we end up drinking a lot of it. But I think what's so important to understand about it is it's not that it's not like energy in a bottle. Caffeine itself like stimulates your brain to, again, release, you know, to talk to your adrenals, to release more cortisol. So it's almost like it just scoops up all the cortisol and adrenaline in your body and kind of shoves it down your throat like a fire hose. And so then we end up running out of energy later. So now we don't have the hormones that we necessarily need for the optimal function of our body. So that's going to be one of the issues. We now, again, have, you know, a more toxic substance that the liver is going to have to deal with, which now slows the liver down from everything it's doing. The excess cortisol the liver is going to have to deal with, the impact on our thyroid there as well from those things. And of course, again, that sensitive hormone imbalance. So the excess, the added cortisol from the caffeine is going to throw off that estrogen progesterone balance. Mm-hmm. So then that imbalance, as you were talking about, that estrogen dominance imbalance is absolutely going to cause more trouble with anything from fertility issues to night sweats and temperature issues to weight unexplained, you know, to weight gain that's happening. So you can still be doing all the things, but sometimes the caffeine is the piece that is keeping you stuck where you are.
Yeah. And, you know, and I know that it's pretty popular out there. There's a lot of trends that are out there, like the using, you know, for instance, let's just say coffee, but really any caffeine source, even our like pre-workouts and things like that. There's a lot of things that are marketed to us as women that are going to supposedly help to like boost our metabolism and help us to be able to get in a better workout and help us to lose weight and help us, you know, to feel like we've got energy and can just tackle all the things that we think we're supposed to be tackling every single day. But what I want women to understand, again, I know I talk about this a lot, so we're not going to dive into it too much, but a lot of these trends, a lot of these messages that are being put out, they started because of studies that were done on men and not women. And women respond differently to caffeine than men do. And if you did a DNA test, you can actually find out whether you are somebody that is sensitive to caffeine or if you are somebody that's really good at metabolizing it quickly. But even if you're super great at metabolizing caffeine, just even one cup of coffee, that's going to boost those cortisol levels so high that you're going to have elevated cortisol levels up to 14 hours per day. So I know a lot of people are drinking a lot more than just a cup, you know, and it's just amazing what it's doing, you know? And so if you are somebody like me who is so sensitive to caffeine, I feel it. If I have something even earlier in the day, I'm up all night. Like I really can't sleep. So my cortisol is very dysregulated whenever I'm overdoing it. And so I want that to be clear just because I think that's something that's really interesting, but especially for women, we have a harder time metabolizing it out. And when we have caffeine or that cortisol goes high because of caffeine intake, I say this a lot too, but let's just remember anytime that cortisol is high or stress hormones are high, then our sex hormones go low.
Yeah.
So there's a downstream, like there's an effect that happens, on our ovulation, on our fertility, but on our just overall hormone production. I mean, there's just a lot that is going on. I did a whole episode on this about a year ago where I really just go into everything that women should know about caffeine. And I would just recommend if you haven't listened to that episode, women, and you're trying and you would like to learn more, that's a good episode to go and tune into just to learn a little bit more. But yeah, tell me a little bit about your thoughts about this.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think, you know, we don't always, well, we don't know the whole picture. And I mean, I think for you and I, like, we are in the wellness industry. So like for us to go through what we went through and not know all of these things, like how on earth is the average woman supposed to know these things? So I think these conversations are really, really important to kind of normalize it, to try to, you know, layman's terms, the topic. But, you know, I think for anyone who hadn't even connected that like caffeine cortisol piece, like what is actually happening, like you were saying, and the impact of the cortisol on our hormones, but we need cortisol. Like there's like a lot of really beautiful benefits of cortisol in our circadian rhythm and like for our metabolizing, for our digestion, for all of these things, for fight or flight. And so if we're overusing it, like it is too much of a good thing, that can also, again, throw off our sleep. If we run through it and we don't have enough of it, can be really dangerous. And we want to make sure that naturally we have a healthy circadian rhythm with our cortisol so that we are actually waking up with the highest amount first thing in the morning. And so if we aren't, then we really should, and we need coffee, then we probably should be looking at why we're not, like what's causing that issue where we don't have the energy that we need first thing in the morning to be able to start our day with a bang. So it's also a reminder to hear the real whispers. Like when you have caffeine, you're not actually hearing what's really going on in your body. And I was I love that you brought up pre-workout. I was a huge pre-workout addict in my past life, I would call it. And I think two things that are so important about those, and whether it's pre-workout or, you know, obviously whether it's like Coca-Cola or drinks like that later in the day, caffeinated drinks, pre-workout is not designed to be something you do every single day. It's really like if you'd use it, it's sort of supposed to be strategically designed for your results in a certain period of time and then stopped for a while. But we really need to make sure that when we take a pre-workout or have a caffeinated drink, like we're not hearing what the body is saying. So if you're needing it in order to work out or you're needing a drink in order to get through the day, then there is always that underlying issue down there and we cannot hear it when that's happening. So we're just missing the point altogether.
Oh, yes, exactly. I hope that is so clear. Like I just want women to be like, oh, that makes so much sense. You know, we talk a lot about like taking a root cause approach as opposed to just a band-aid approach. When we're having to reach for a caffeine source just to get us up in the morning, to get us going, or to feel like we can actually go and get a workout in, then that's just putting a band-aid on, you know, and it's actually making things worse. It's exacerbating. It's that whole cortisol dysregulation, like you're mentioning, that's can really throw off our circadian rhythm. And you know, our circadian rhythm, our wake and sleep cycle, very much affects our infradian rhythm, right? And so that's our women's 28-day cycle. So it just makes sense that it's all connected. And so just know that when you're making these choices, just remember this. And it's fine. Like, it's not like I never have a caffeinated drink. I do sometimes, but I know what it does to my body. And so I try to make better choices 95% of the time, you know, something that's actually going to support my body and help me to fill and give me like real energy to support my body's own energy production, which can happen.
I love that you say that. I think that's a really, like, ultimately, you know, you talked about how, you know, obviously women have been taught to really, all the medical research was really on men. So we basically were raised as little men instead of unique women. And we are entirely different and we should start to feel empowered. I hope nobody feels frustrated and want them to feel more excited about the fact that we are getting that information now.
I agree.
But, you know, I think when it comes to our rhythms and everything, it's just, again, listening to what the rhythm is saying. I completely lost my thought there. I'm so sorry.
No, the whispers, like listening, not covering up, not trying to like force the body to do something. But I think what you're talking about is like how to work with your body instead of against your body ultimately.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was saying. Thank you.
Well, I loved it. No, everything you're saying was right on. I think we all are with you on that. So yeah, all of this is just to be like for our good, like to understand kind of the impact that some of these substances can have on our body and why women are maybe impacted just even a little bit more than some of the men. I do think it's empowering though, like you said. I think this is something that now that now that more studies are happening on women, we'll get more and more great data and there'll be more things that are geared towards supporting us, the way that we need to be supported, but it's okay. Like at this point, we're starting to talk about it and we can feel enthusiastic that it's just going to become better and better. Now, I also want to dive into just alcohol, because this is something too that is, you know, I don't think that this one, I think most people realize and understand like alcohol has negative effects on us. Like this isn't like a what, you know, kind of substance. We know that, but I don't know if we all understand how much of an impact, because, you know, a lot of the clients that I work with, it was just like, oh, it's just a glass of wine every night, you know, and it has all the antioxidants and there's all this, you know, information out there about the anti-aging benefits of that glass of wine. And yes, that is all true, but you can actually get those anti-aging nutrients that you find in wine in other sources that aren't going to, you know, negatively affect your hormones. So I do have some, I went through and like gathered some common questions that I have received from some of my my friends out there that are listening either to this podcast or following me on Instagram. I want to go through them. But first of all, I would love to hear, Bria, like, what is your take? How do you teach your clients about the impact of alcohol?
Yeah. So I'm always, you know, one, I always am teaching, like, when we're dealing with a hormone imbalance, you know, we really want to pull out anything inflammatory. So any of these things we want to pull out in the name of healing, just for a period. So I'm like you. I mean, I don't know how, if you drink or not, but I'm definitely have caffeine here and there. I have sugar here and there. I have alcohol here and there. So I'm not sitting here on top of my horse saying never, ever, ever, but we want to things that are inflammatory, you know, that's going to create that inflammatory response so the body can heal. But alcohol specifically, it decreases two of our main sex hormones, so testosterone and progesterone, and it increases estradiol. It increases our estrogen. So automatically when we drink, we're throwing off that balance immediately. I think often, you know, we worry more about the caloric element of alcohol. That's why there's so many like low-cal, you know, out there. Yeah. Skinny this and skinny that. Yeah. And, but I think that the greater damage or the bigger concern is really more that impact. So one, we have the impacts right away on the hormones. You know, two, we also have the impact on the liver. So we know the alcohol is coming in. Three, alcohol is a depressant. So, you know, when it comes into the body, the brain signifies that cortisol and adrenaline to increase up to kind of bring us back into homeostasis there. And that is another workload on the body. And so it becomes a lot. Again, it's really this workload on the body. And I think these transitions in our life, like again, cyclically every month or through perimenopause and menopause, it kind of comes down to an energy supply and demand thing, doesn't it? And it's like, if your energy supply is not meeting the demand of the body, we're going to have problems in our hormones, in all of our functional systems in the body. So sometimes we need to ask ourselves, like, okay, what's the cost of this? What's the energetic cost? And am I able to supply for that demand that's happening? And so I think those are really the big issues that I see with alcohol. And I always say, like, the final piece is if you cannot go, you know, this healing period without stimulants or depressants like alcohol or caffeine or sugar, then we have to examine our relationship with them, because if you can't go a little while without something, then usually that means it's a bit of a toxic relationship, because it is, again, it is numbing those edges. It's hiding what's available of the actual messages from our body. And it's doing this other damage already. And there's a time and place. I think alcohol, sugar, they really should be like the cherry on top of the joy of your life. Like the joy of your life should be there. And then, yeah, we want to toast champagne at celebrations. You know, we want to have birthday cake at birthdays, but there's a time and place when it comes to our overall health and function of our body.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. Everything you just said is just exactly right. And it's about being more intuitive, your body's best friend, and just really listening to it and supporting it and nourishing your body. And anytime that we are dependent on any type of substance to do work for us, that's something that we definitely should be like taking a look at a little deeper and just seeing why. And then always, always go for the root cause. Why? You know, why is it that you are looking for that stimulation, or why is it that you feel like you need that extra relaxation, or whatever it is that you're seeking, or that feel good, you know, comfort or whatever. Look into that. That's, again, they're symptoms. Your body's communicating with you. And it's just beautiful how the body can do that. If we can learn to really just work, like I always say, work with our body, it's like beautiful things happen. We start feeling amazing. We feel so good. Okay. Totally. I wanted to share some of these and see if you can help me answer them. Some of the questions are actually kind of similar, so I might not go through all of them, but I had a question that came in. Does alcohol affect your period flow?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say, yeah.
I know.
Talked a bit about it, but yeah, I mean, I think if we know it suppresses, it increases estrogen and decreases progesterone, then we're looking at an estrogen dominant situation. So you're going to have a heavier flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most likely. Yeah, it's so true. It does. I mean, Bria just explained the hormone, you know, the effect that it's going to have on your hormone production. And so that absolutely can have a big impact on your flow. I have a couple other questions because I have had most of my clients, I would say the majority. I don't know that I've really worked with many women who haven't had the experience of when they are drinking more alcohol than usual, that the period doesn't come heavier and last longer. But there is a question that came in that asks, why does my period stop when I drink alcohol?
I think that I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too. But my first initial thoughts are because in order to ovulate and menstruate, we need progesterone. So likely it's the suppression of the progesterone that's creating that, and just the stress on the body. So we know, you know, when you go, if you're in your fertility years whether you're through those fertility years, we all heard those stories of people who couldn't get pregnant because their body is so stressed out. Like a stressed body is not conducive to fertility. So we're not going to have a regular cycle when the body's stressed. And we know that alcohol induces stress. So that would also make a lot of sense.
I'm with you. That's exactly what my answer is on that, is just that it is causing stress on the body, and it is absolutely going to have an impact on your body's ability to have balanced levels of progesterone. And other hormones as well, but that specifically, I think, is what's being impacted the most. Okay. I think this is something we've kind of already addressed. Does drinking on your period, on your actual period, make you bleed more? I don't know that it does make you bleed more during your actual period. Because like I said earlier in this episode, it's more about like what you did before, like days before, weeks before, that's going to affect how your period actually shows up. So I don't think that it's, if you are on your period and you have a drink, that it's going to then make you drink more. But I could be wrong on that. Do you have any thoughts on that, Bria?
I think, I agree with you. And I think the only thing I might add is just that ultimately, like a healthy cycle, a healthy perimenopause transition into menopause, all has a lot to do with nutrient efficiency in the body. And we know when we're drinking, then we're getting depleted of nutrients because more tools are needed to function. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's impossible that things could change when you're drinking on your period because of the impact and the metabolizing of that alcohol in your body, the dehydration effect. So I wouldn't rule it out, but you're right. I think it's more often than not, it's what happened the months earlier.
I think you're right. I mean, that's something that I would love to learn more about, but I think absolutely what you're saying. Our liver especially will always prioritize getting rid of the alcohol. That's always going to be first. And so that really affects our body's ability to, like you said, metabolize and then assimilate all of the nutrients that are maybe coming from our food and doing our body the good things that it needs. If we're having alcohol in the way, it's always going to be what the liver tries to take care of first. And so a lot of times we are going to miss out. Like you just said, the dehydration is going to be an issue, but also just the nutrient deficiency. That's a big driver for nutrient deficiency, is if we are overburdening the liver with alcohol, with caffeine, with too much sugar and all of these things.
Our body is a pretty miraculous thing, but it has a hierarchy of order. Like the top priority is survival. So when a toxic substance comes in, that's the priority. Everything else has to stop. So I think when we start to understand that, it's like, oh, okay, I can get what's happening in my body now based on my choices.
Exactly. I love this. That's exactly what I want this whole episode to be about. That's the message behind it. Bria, this has been super fun. I appreciate you like diving into all of this with us, because I know there's a lot of women out there that are trying to feel their best and they just would love to, you know, have all of the tools. And sometimes we can have a whole toolbox full of tools. And some of the things that are in that toolbox are really, we just need to get them out of the toolbox, right? It's like they're getting in our way. And these substances oftentimes can get in our way. And it's just good for us to know. Is there anything else that you want to share with our audience before we say goodbye?
No, I think just keep listening to these conversations so that we can normalize this stuff for you. And, you know, my favorite thing is like, be more in your life and not just less on a scale. So when you think about how things like when you're taking up space on how to have more energy, on how to feel better, I think we stop worrying so much about some of those other things that maybe distract us from the real whispers and issues and root problems at hand.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that. So well said, Bria. This is awesome. Bria, how can our audience connect with you? What are some of the best places to find you?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, come check out the Period Whisperer podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts as well. Or reach out to me on Instagram at Bria_period_whisperer. Those are the best ways.
We will for sure do that. And I will, of course, link everything and ways that you can connect with Bria in our show notes. Women that are listening today, we love you. We appreciate you. We know that all of us are going to have these like ebbs and flows of when our bodies and our hormones are feeling their best. But there's a lot that we can do. We have a lot of power in our hands and what we're putting into our body actually matters. So we hope that you found this episode helpful. And until next time, we hope you have a very happy and healthy week. Bye.